The gospel reading today is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone, especially to all mothers and women. May God continue to bless you all more than ever. Since today is Mother's Day, which is one of the special Sundays, I'd like to share with you a Mother's Day sermon entitled "Insight from Jesus' Mom." So my ongoing sermon series, Bearing Fruit, will resume next Sunday. There was a husband who wrote a poem using an acronym, M-O-T-H-E-R, mother, to his wife on Mother's Day. Here is the poem. M is for the mink coat you won, dear. O is the opal ring you crave. T is for the tiny car you love, my sweet. H is for the hat that makes you rave. E is for the earrings you'd admire, love. R is for the rug on which you tread. Put them all together, they spell B-A-N-K-R-U-P-T, bankrupt. So I'm giving you this handkerchief instead. Throughout human history, mothers have been proving that they are super amazing women who are the embodiment of God's sacrificial love, grace, and nurture. Yes, our mothers are truly special symbols of love, care, faithfulness, devotion, joy, peace, sacrifice, and many more characteristics of God's goodness. I have seen this cartoon showing a psychologist talking with a mother. The psychologist says, "Let's see, you spend 50% of your energy on your work. You spend 50% of your energy on your husband and 50% of your energy on your children. I think I can see your problem." Do you get it? Okay. You know, being a mother is not an easy task. That's why it is known that motherhood is a holy calling given by God for a family. We can find some of the biblical examples of godly mothers. Eve literally means the mother of all. Sarah, the elderly mother who laughed at the notion of having children, she gave birth to Isaac. Naomi, faithful mother-in-law to Ruth. Her faithfulness to her family would produce the line of David. Hannah, mother who prayed for God to give her a child, she gave birth to Samuel. Mary, the mother of Jesus, what a blessed mother she was. And this morning on Mother's Day, let me share with you some insights from this mother of Jesus, Mary. At first, I was going to make this sermon's title to be like Something About Mary. But it sounds much like the actual movie title, There Is Something About Mary, right? So I settled with the title, Insight from Jesus' Mom. I think that's good enough. It must be a really extra, super, mega, awesome blessing for Mary to be the mother of Jesus. It is true that being chosen as the mother of the Savior of the world would be very special. Yet, from ordinary people's perspectives, for Mary, she was unlikely to be a candidate for a mother of the Most High. Obviously, she didn't seem to be one of those hot candidate lists. Well, Mary lived in a little town called Nazareth. Verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. And this town had a bad reputation, bad and small, I guess. Can anyone good come out of Nazareth? As you remember, that is what Nathanael said. Moreover, Mary was probably barely a teenager. There is an interesting and informative book about Mary entitled The Everything Mary Book, The Life and Legacy of the Blessed Mother, written by Jenny Schroeder and John Schroeder. According to this book, quote, many scholars think that Mary may have only been 13 or 14 years old when she gave birth to Christ, unquote. Wow, only 13 or 14. She was so young. Verse 27 says, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. The teenager Mary must have been barely a woman, and she was just engaged to a man named Joseph. Yes, she was just one of those ordinary country girls in those times and places. However, God chose her. Two times in our text, Gabriel told Mary that she was highly favored by God. Verse 28, and he came to her and said, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. And also verse 30, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Why? What was there about Mary that had so caught the Creator's attention? As we celebrate Mother's Day, I hope and pray that we can learn some insightful lessons from Mary. Being the mother of Jesus, Mary can be a good example of our motherhood. I believe that God chose Mary because of at least two important reasons. And these two reasons are this morning's message for Mother's Day. Why God chose her? Basically, I, along with many other Bible scholars, believe that it was because of not only who Mary was, but also what Mary would become. Number one, God highly favored Mary because she was a woman of faith. Yes, Mary surely was a woman of faith. She believed in God, who would control her whole life in any way God would. It was like 100% complete confidence she had in God. Of course, the message from the angel Gabriel was a shocking one. She had no idea what the angel was talking about. Verse 29, but she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Angel Gabriel gave her what things were going to happen soon. Verses 31 and 33, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary, a mere teenager, would be a mother? So look at the immediate response of Mary in the next verse, verse 34. Mary said to the angel, how can I this be, since I am a virgin? I can imagine how she would have responded to the situation if she were a modern girl. What? No way. It's just too much for me. You must be crazy. This is impossible. I don't care who you are, but this is not going to happen to me. I am out of here. Of course, at the time, Mary was engaged to Joseph, and engagement in those ancient customs were much more serious than they are today. For instance, an engaged woman could not be divorced without some kind of bill of divorcement. If suspected of unfaithfulness, she could be divorced or even put to death. If her fiancé died, she was considered as a widow. Therefore, as this unique pregnancy became known, Mary faced many troubling possibilities. Rejection by Joseph, the task of raising her child alone, especially in a culture hostile to women, so forth. In addition, she jeopardized her reputation in Nazareth if any of her neighbors find out. And she even risked her very life, possibly being accused of unfaithfulness against Joseph. All of this, no doubt, troubled Mary. Nevertheless, Mary was a woman of faith. Verses 35 to 38. The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God, and now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Then how did Mary respond? Then Mary said, Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. She knew who God was. Yes, the Lord Almighty. And she also knew who she was, his servant. Mary was God's servant, and she believed that nothing was impossible for her God if God said it. Mary knew that it would happen, and even if she didn't really understand how, Mary would go along with it because she was God's faithful servant and instrument. And if the Lord Almighty wanted to give her the task of raising the Son of God, then so be it. Yes, Mary was a woman of faith. With her strong faith in God the Almighty, she had the proper perspective about her role as a mother, in that she saw it as an honor, as a blessing. In the same chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, Mary's beautiful song of praise is recorded. Traditionally, this Mary's song is called the Magnificat. Actually, this title, Magnificat, and its meaning came directly from verse 47. My soul magnifies the Lord. In the song, she tells how she rejoices and is blessed by what God was going to do in her life. Mary saw motherhood as a special honor and an amazing gift. Remember, Gabriel said, nothing will be impossible with God. Mary totally believed that nothing would be impossible with God. Please pay attention to the last phrase, with God. The text doesn't say that nothing is impossible for God, though that's true, but it says nothing is impossible with God. Mary believed it. Do you also believe that? In searching for good qualifications for mother of the Savior, faith was the most important factor. My brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the most famous verses we share on Mother's Day would be from Proverbs. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Today, God is still looking for godly mothers who have faith in Him and who fear Him most than anything in the whole world in order to accomplish much more greater things. Number two, God highly favored Mary because she would become a mother of love. One of the most famous old Jewish sayings is, quote, God could not be everywhere, and therefore He created mothers, unquote. Mother's love represents God's love everywhere. Mary's love and devotion for Jesus began before He was born and lasted even beyond the cross. The first picture we have of Mary is as a teenager girl in Nazareth, and the final picture we see of Mary is that of an older woman, her hair probably a little gray, with skin dark and wrinkled by years of exposure to the Judean sun, with eyes that show the wear of years of struggle. Do you know where it is that we find this last glimpse of Mary? No, not at the cross of her son, though she was there. No, it's not when Jesus hung on the cross and said to her, John, women, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. As a matter of fact, you will not find this last glimpse of any in any of the Gospels, but rather in the book of Acts. Acts 1:14 records, they all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. 30 plus years later, Mary is still right where she is supposed to be. And Jesus is still the center of her attention and the focus of her entire being. Now you may be thinking, oh, but Jesus must have been so easy to love. Yeah, real life, you are right. It was easy to love, but loving Jesus was not an easy road for Mary to travel. In fact, it was difficult right from the start. Remember when the old prophet Simeon said to Mary as she presented her baby boy, Jesus, at the temple, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Mary's soul was pierced many times because of her love for Jesus. When she had to flee to Egypt because of King Herod sought his life. And when at the age of 12, she looked frantically for Jesus 3 days, not knowing if he was alive or dead. Later, they found him at the temple, and he said to this worried sick mother, Mother, I must be about my father's business. That must have pierced her soul, don't you think? In Mark 3, there's another occasion that must have pierced her soul. The respected leaders in Jerusalem were saying that the Jesus was a fanatic, a lunatic who was demon-possessed. What mother wouldn't be hurt if people were saying those kind of things about her child? And in John 7, we read where Jesus' own brothers and sisters rejected Jesus and didn't want anything to do with him. John 7:5 says, for not even his brothers believed in him. They didn't believe what their older brother Jesus was saying. Can you just imagine what the conversation was like at the Mary's dinner table? This must have pierced her soul as well. Not to mention every time she saw a lamb being led to sacrifice. Every time she read Isaiah 53 and the other prophecies about his death, Mary's soul was pierced. And then on that dark Friday, her Jesus, the baby she had given birth to, when Mary watched his hands and feet nailed to a cross, hands and feet that she had once held in her hands, as she watched them beat her son, strip her son, mock her son, kill her son, Mary's soul was pierced. Sure, Mary was easy to love, but loving Jesus was not easy. Nevertheless, Mary's love and devotion was unwavering from conception to the cross and even beyond. When others mistreated Jesus, Mary was there. When others turned him away, she always knew that his mother would not. Even at the cross, she was there. Remember that all the disciples had fled, but Mary was still there. His most trusted followers had abandoned him, but not his mother. Jesus was blessed to have such an amazing mother. Yes, Mary was such a special model for all mothers. Years ago, the American two-time Olympic medalist diver Greg Louganis was asked how he coped with the stress of international diving competitions. He replied that he climbs to the board, takes a deep breath, and thinks, even if I blow this dive, my mother will still love me. God's love is shown and being revealed in mother's love. My sisters and brothers in Christ, the lesson on Mother's Day is simple. Love your mother. If your mother is still alive today, you are blessed. Be good to her. Be nice to her. Love her more than ever. Comparing her love for you, your love for your mother might not be enough. Don't wait. Love her now. Even though your mother is now in heaven, give thanks to God for having had your mother who gave you birth, raised you with love, and made you who you are today. And you are also blessed. You are going to continue living the legacy of your mother. Yes, you are the fruit of your mother's life and faith. Make your mother in heaven proud. For all the mothers and women, we love you and truly appreciate your love, your faith, and your hope. You are the reason our humanity continues thriving, cherishing, and flourishing. As many of you remember, 5 years ago, my mother passed away in 2021 in Los Angeles when she was 94. She was an amazing woman of faith. My father, who had been a pastor in Korea, passed away at the age of 46 when I was in high school. So my mother had to raise all five unmarried children all by herself, enduring a great deal of ordeals, hardships, and challenges. By God's grace and with my mother's sacrificial and unconditional love and care for us, we all five children became faithful Christians by following our parents' legacy of faith and love. As I reflect on my childhood, my youth, and my life today, especially today, Mother's Day, I realize that I owe my mother so much, so many things that I can never repay. Whether you are young or old, to your mother, you are forever your mother's baby, and her love is and will be always unconditional and unlimited. Yes, every single mother, every single woman is a godly mother. Of course, not every mother might be a perfect super mother. Nevertheless, every mother is an amazing mother who embodies God and God's steadfast love. And everyone owes our mothers a great deal of everything. I'd like to conclude my sermon with a list of I owe you written by someone unknown. This list applies to mothers of all over the world, all of which are long overdue. Dear Mom, as I walk through my museum of memories, I owe you for your time, day and night. I owe you for your example, consistent and dependable. I owe you for your support, stimulating and challenging. I owe you for your humor, sparky and quick. I owe you for your counsel, wide and quiet. I owe you for your humility, genuine and gracious. I owe you for your hospitality, smiling and warm. I owe you for your insight, keen and honest. I owe you for your flexibility, patient and joyful. I owe you for your sacrifices, numerous and quickly forgotten. I owe you for your faith, solid and sure. I owe you for your hope, careless, ceaseless, and indestructible. I owe you for your love, devoted and deep. And I love you, Mom, forever. Happy Mother's Day. May God bless you all. Thanks be to God. Amen.